Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
If you have your Bible this morning, please turn to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to consider a familiar passage around the Christmas season. And I know that our children, or some of them, are in here today, so this is going to hopefully help us, all of us, as we have a little visual here of where we're going in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. Is there anybody in here that is finding it difficult to find a certain gift for a certain person this year? Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay, about 10 of us. Some people you just know, okay, I want to get so-and-so this, but every once in a while there's somebody in the family or a friend or a colleague that's just, it's just hard to know what to give them. This morning, I want us to consider good gifts to give God, because we know, if we know the biblical story of Christmas, we know that what Christ has done is he's given his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that's the greatest gift of all. And then if we receive the gift of salvation, we have a personal relationship with him, then it's like we live the rest of our life thanking him and wanting to obey him as an expression of gratitude, no matter what season of the year that it is. And so as we think about the Magi in Matthew chapter 2, a familiar story that some of us learned when we were in Sunday school growing up, maybe in our home there's a nativity that maybe is special to your family, then it might be that we look at that once again, perhaps in a little different way. I'm going to share one of my favorite stories at Christmas time that I shared with a few in different settings last year. It usually happens at least once every year because it's my favorite way to try to help us understand gifts that we can give to God. So in the background, the Magi were experts in astrology and magic. So it wasn't necessarily at that point that they loved God and were all about trying to find the Christ child. They just followed things that were announced as celestial phenomena. So it's not strange or unlikely that they would follow the star. What we do know is that though it seems in the pictures they're on camels, more than likely there were horses. Though it seems in the pictures of the nativity that there were three wise men, there probably was more. And that it was a little bit later after Jesus was born that they brought these three gifts that were appropriately presented to King Jesus. Now, the gold that we'll read about, a lavish gift suitable for a king. It's royalty. It's a picture of the sovereignty that rules over us. Frankincense, a fragrant offering fit for a priest. It was used in the temple for sacrifices. It pictures a servant who represents us. In Latin, it means pontifex, which means bridge builder. The priest was the bridge builder between men to God. Jesus was and is our bridge builder. God's perfect, we're sinful, and Jesus is the one that builds a bridge. Even now, he's at the right hand of God interceding on our behalf for prayers that we don't know how to pray. And then there's the myrrh, a gift for one who was to die. It was a type of embalming fluid. It was foreshadowing of Christ's purpose. It's a term that was used 156 times in the Bible. He is the Redeemer, the one who died so that we might have life. And so here's what it says in verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. In coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. When they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Maybe you remember the story. It's one of my favorites. Little Annie finally had her chance to be in the Christmas pageant with the family that gathered on Christmas Day. She'd always been too young. So the other cousins, first and second cousins, were always in the play. And little Annie had to just kind of sit back and watch. But she was of age. The older teenager was always in charge, and he felt like this was Annie's time. And so because of the limitations of all the Christmas stories and all the parts for the children to present this drama to their parents and their grandparents, then the older teenager assigned her to be the wise men. And so it came her time. The family was there. They were waiting for Annie's big moment. And Annie comes out and she says, "I am all three wise men. I bring you gold, circumstance, and mud." Love that story. And today we're going to look at it a little bit different than we did last year. We just kind of touched on it. I believe from that and from the text and from other passages of Scripture in the Old Testament, the New Testament, we can see good gifts to give God. It might be that you're here today and you nail all three of them. It's like, I got that. I struggle with this one, but I got this one. And that's wonderful. It's a journey the Christian life is. It's a PS that we're saying, God, thank you, thank you. I want to glorify you. I want to make sure I witness for you. I want to be a reflection of your grace in my life. But it might be that today, as we consider these gifts, 1, 2, and 3, that it might be God registers something in your mind and more than that in your heart that you need to give to him and you need to surrender him to him today. So let's start with the first one. The first one is this: God wants our best. The Bible declares, whatsoever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. Rick Warren once said years ago, "I have no intention of wasting my life." Some do. Francis Chan once said this: "Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things that don't really matter." So how can we give our best? Well, there's two or three things I would share with you. One is we're to give our best one in our ability. God blesses every one of us with a certain amount of ability. Is it being maximized in your life, in my life? That's a question we should ask. What kind of abilities, different than spiritual gifts? We're not talking about personality here. We're talking about natural abilities, talents, things that you can excel in, that you can grow in, that you can learn more and more about so you can be a blessing to others. Because that's why God has given us a gift. It's to use it as a platform for Jesus. And about a week ago, I was at a bookstore signing the book, and I had a teenager come by that was in my very first youth group years ago when I was at Mississippi College. I was the interim, part-time youth and rec minister at First Baptist Canton, Mississippi. And there was a young lady there named Tracy, who I'd not seen in decades because it's been a few years since I've been in college. And I don't believe I've ever seen Tracy since then. She was like a ninth grader in that first youth group. Bless her heart. And she's married. She's got kids. And she came to buy a book and me sign it. And this is what she said. She was very sweet, very kind. She said, "You know, as I look back on that time when you were my youth minister, I only remember one thing." And I'm thinking, oh, this could be good. She said, "You had a guy come in here on a Wednesday night share his testimony, and he held a baseball. And the only thing I can remember is, and it's always stuck with me, Hal, he said, I used this baseball, and I tell you who it was. I said, I can tell you who it was. It was Coach Bill Perry, who died this past year, and he was a coach, an older coach, died of Parkinson's. I did his funeral. Y'all might remember that this past year. He touched a lot of lives through teaching and coaching in a lot of different schools, and then at Mississippi College for a while. And Tracy said, he held that baseball, and he said, this is a platform. He said, I like baseball and I like coaching baseball, and this is what God has called me to do, but it is a platform to share Christ, to represent the Lord. And so I told Tracy, he had died this past year, and ironically, for decades, he's been doing this past Saturday, for decades, a fruit giveaway in the mornings in South Jackson in different places. And so they carried it on. It's been planned for months now, and I was a part of that. It was ironic when all that came about. So even though Coach Perry is in heaven now, his legacy lives on. And why is that? I would say primarily, obviously, Jesus changed his life, changed his batting stance, but it's the fact that he recognized that his calling and platform was to share Christ through the avenue of baseball. What is your ability? Some of you are good at fishing. Well, in case, guys, you don't know it, Hank Parker, who's a Christian professional fisherman, will come the last Friday in April of next year and do our conference, our men's conference, Hungry Men Conference on Friday night. He has an ability. I told Ben when I went fishing with him this year, I said, Ben, you're probably not going to catch any fish because I just not good at fishing. I've tried, but I was with a professional, so we caught a lot of fish thanks to Ben. An ability. What kind of ability has God given you to use for his glory? That is a gift to God. What else? An availability. Are you available to do what God is calling you to do? If your job or something else comes before other God-given responsibilities and priorities, there's a good possibility that you're missing it. We all have a career, which I hope is a calling for you as it is me. But we've got to have balance in our life. The 11th commandment, one pastor told me years ago, said it should be, thou shalt be balanced. And so we need to have that time alone with God. We need to have that time with our wife and our family. We need to have that time that we are a part of church and serving in some capacity, but not being burnt out. And we need to make sure that we're doing our best in our career and our calling. But we need to have balance in our life. Are we even available? Do we intentionally mark out time, carve out time to be available to do what God wants us to do? Life is short. So you got your ability, availability. And then financially, are you giving or am I giving out of our love for Christ? Do we give financially because we love Christ? The church is the place to talk about the tithe. I don't hesitate to talk about the tithe. Bible says bring the tithe into the storehouse. I don't talk about it every Sunday. It just so happens sometimes people land on the Sunday that the preacher talks about giving, and they'll say, oh, they did that at the church house, talk about giving. Well, some might. We don't. But every once in a while we should talk about it. It's biblical. It's an act of obedience. It's something as a child of God we should practice with generosity and love. What about offerings? Offerings is above the tithe. Do you give? Do I give what you can or just what you can't give? An offering is a type of giving what we can't give. It's like, I can't see how I do this, but by faith, I'm going to do it. If you haven't read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 about the Macedonians, they gave out of their poverty. They gave beyond what they were capable of giving. How many of us do that with offerings? It might be toward the building fund. It might be toward the cross, the Haven Cross. It might be toward some other avenue, the Baptist Children's Village or the BSU. It might be some ministry in the Brookhaven area. It might be FCA. I mean, we could go through a lot of parachurch ministries that God may lay our heart on to give. It might be given above the tithe, specifically toward the International Mission Board, which is an emphasis right now. So we need to think about this. Someone has said, show me your checkbook and I'll show you where your heart is. In other words, our spiritual maturity, faith. God wants our best. And while we're on it, I've got information here. It's almost like there's good news and bad news with our giving here at East Haven. The good news is, based on this information, we're giving more overall, more this year than we were or than we did last year. The challenging news is we upped our budget. We're not spending what we don't have, but we upped our budget by faith, and we're not quite reaching our budget. And so that's FYI. What do we want to do? We want to faith God. We want everybody that's part of the family to do their part. And so when our church staff gets into January and gets into the specifics with others about details of the 2025 and the ministry, it takes money, it takes finances in order to do ministry. And so, yes, it's very, very important. Listen to this point. There was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked, he never tried, he never sang or prayed. And when he one day passed away, his insurance was denied. For since he never really lived, they claimed he never really died. One of the saddest moments as a minister that I can experience is when someone dies and not many people even recognize it. Now, I understand there's some that live into their 90s and beyond. And so a lot of their friends have already beat them to heaven. But I'm just talking about as a general rule. Sometimes that's sad because in some cases, it's because a person lived for themselves instead of God and for others. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But on the other hand, and I've seen this several times this year in funerals that I've witnessed or been a part of or visitation. There are some that may have a line out the door, like Friday night. I went to Miss Shara Smith's visitation, Scott's mom. And I'm telling you, it was amazing. That lady that I met didn't know very well, but obviously from things that I read and what I just witnessed, touched a lot of lives. There were people out the door, Scott. Just lines of people going through. And then they had one guy start putting us in the pews. Putting us in the pew and taking turns to go up there. And that is a blessing. I mean, you even tell you what that is? That's a legacy. That's somebody that lived for Jesus. That's what we want. God wants our best ability, availability, financially and otherwise. Secondly, God wants our mess, meaning our circumstances that we're dealing with right now. Some of you have some circumstances, some hurt going on in your life. That person beside you, maybe in your home, may not even know it. But you do, and it's tough. Part of the church is to share with one another, pray with one another, encourage one another. And sometimes we do that, and sometimes we don't. Because we feel like it wouldn't be best for some reason. He wants our mess. Jesus is our bridge builder. We do not have a Savior who cannot understand what we're going through. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. I put it this way in thinking about difficulty. Opportunities abound during trials that you have and that I have. God wants us to trust him so others will see us during those times trusting in him so they too will trust him. I read a story once about a few years ago, a doctor came to parents of conjoined twins and he said, if I do not perform surgery quickly to separate these twins, they were connected. Both of them are going to die. They gave permission. And then he said, it's not that simple. I can save one, but not both. You decide which one will live and which will die. Jesus asked us to make a similar choice. We must die to self. We trust him as Savior and we trust him as Lord, boss. And we die to self and what we think we need to do or direction we need to go, and we trust where he is leading us. It's only when we give up everything to him, even our hurts, that we're ready to gain everything from him when you're ready to follow him. Luke 9 says this, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So we can look at our trials, our circumstances, as either a burden, which they can be at times, or a blessing, knowing that God is sovereign. He's trying to teach us something. He's molding and shaping us into his image because he's always with us. That's what Emmanuel means. God is with us. I read in one of our local funeral homes a little pamphlet. We had a little time there and I was looking around. Coping with grief, because this might be helpful for some of you. I'm not going to read the whole information. You can come to me afterwards or I can tell you where you can get this. Coping with grief during the holidays. List 12 things here quickly, because this might be you. This may be the circumstances you're dealing with. That's why we had a prayer time. Number one, pace yourself. You do not have to uphold all the obligations you did in the past. Allow yourself the luxury to slow down. Number two, to say no is okay. It's okay to tell others no. This means you can reject invitations or visitors if you need to, if you're not feeling of it. Pamp yourself, meaning if you deplete your energy during Christmas, we can do that. You'll have less strength to care for yourself and for others in your family during the holiday season. Number four, tell people what you need. Friends and family will not know how to help you or relate to you unless you're specific with those that you're close to say, man, this is really what I need. Make new rituals. You can still have the same ones, but make new ones. When you make a new tradition, it signals to yourself and others that your life has changed. A new tradition does not mean that old traditions are any less important. Number six, honor traditions. Traditions hold many emotions for people. Number seven, remember your physical needs. Eat, sleep, and drink plenty of liquids to maintain your physical strength. I started to skip that one because that's hard right now, eating all those cookies. Number eight, tell others exactly what holidays are important to you so they can be sensitive to. Number nine, crying is okay. Let the tears flow. Jesus wept. Number 10, make action plans. During the holidays, life can be busy and stressful. Be intentional about having balance. Number 11, consult your family and friends. Talk to your family and friends to see what they want you to do during the upcoming holiday. Many people may be feeling the same things you are and not knowing what to do. And number 12, lean on your faith. And that actually is number one. Keep trusting in God. Sometimes you might see someone that you know this is their first holiday season without a loved one. One of the best things you can do is called a presence ministry. Just be there. I was eating lunch with a guy that I grew up with this past week, and his daughter passed away. They had one child. She passed away as an adult this past year. And while we were there, I watched people that were trying to be sensitive to Tim because of Lauren's homegoing. They didn't say a word. But I'm telling you, there were two or three people during that lunchtime that walked over and hugged Tim, said, hey, Tim, hugged him, and walked back. They didn't have to say anything. Tim knew exactly what they were doing. They were being there. They were loving him and just saying, hey, I'm thinking about you, without saying a word. Sometimes that is the best thing. Sometimes when we start trying to say something, it might come out wrong and might be difficult for the person we're trying to comfort. So just being there. Maybe that's your circumstances. Maybe God ministers to you in some way in this, and maybe that'll help you in ministering to other people. It might be you're going through a difficult time because somebody is misrepresenting you. Do you know that even in the family of God, sometimes we can be misrepresented? It could be you're going to have a family lunch with somebody in your family that you know in the last year or two or three or four or five that has misrepresented you, possibly. It might be there's somebody at your workplace. It might be there's somebody in the family of God. It might be a friend. But you need to keep in mind that if you are walking in the Spirit and you are obeying what God has called you to do and to be and choices that you're making because of Him, then you walk in confidence and peace and know that He's got you. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 3, beginning with verse 13. It says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is within you. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. If God has called you and me to do something because we believe with our entire soul and being that it is right, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And you trust Him. And you let the chips fall. And you celebrate the Christmas season because you are walking in the Spirit, trying to obey what He said, no matter what your family may say, no matter what your friends may say, no matter what your colleagues may say. That might be your circumstance. And then thirdly, God wants the rest, the mud, the sin. We're all sinners. I read with interest this morning in the Daily Leader, all the letters to Santa Claus. I don't know if you've seen it yet. I think we do this every year, and there's a lot of letters that children write in our area to Santa Claus. And the first one was unlike all the other ones. Now, there was a lot of Santa Claus letters, so I didn't read them all. But I looked at all the other ones, and all the other ones were like, dear Santa, I've been a good little boy. Santa, I'm not perfect, but I've been great. Santa, so it's all the good. So, and then they say, I want this, this, and this. But the very first one, my name, dear Santa, my name is Avi, and I am 6 years old. This year, I've been very naughty. For Christmas, please bring me Barbie doll nurse. Love, Avi. Avi was honest. I've been naughty. I'm a sinner. God wants our mud. He wants everything. It was so funny. She went on and said, but I want all this. And that can be just like us. Sometimes we can just say, well, I'm going to give you this, but I'm going to keep this part. But I want your blessing. Myrrh is an embalming fluid. Jesus came to die for our sins. We can try to be good, but we must give God the rest, our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:15 said He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. If we had the time today and we set up a microphone and somehow we got to a place where we were not inhibited, not afraid of what people would think, and we had our microphone here and I said, hey, let's have a little testimony time. I guarantee you, there'd be some that would come and they'd say, my life has been changed because of Christ. He made a message out of my mess. There's some in here that grew up in church, never were perfect, but there's never been any major time of rebellion. There's some in here, probably more, that we've had different times where we were rebellious or we weren't living for the Lord, or some that weren't raised in a Christian home. A lot of this is still foreign and new, or you're making memories now with your family that you didn't have growing up as far as a Christian heritage and celebrating what Christmas is really about biblically. You see, Jesus can do that. No one is beyond the grace of God. No one. I want you to envision a candy cane. The story of the candy cane. The candy, most of them are hard. Jesus is our rock. He's our foundation. We got to get that right, relationship with Him. And it's amazing how He can help us get other things right by His grace. If you turn it just the right way, it's a J. Stands for Jesus. You look at the red and you think about the blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sins. And then the white, purity. Jesus washes our sins white as snow. You know, the rest of the story of the wise men is they went back a different way. When you leave here today, you can do the same. If you've never given your life to Christ, He changes everything. He changes your direction, your path, your life, everything. But it starts with the candy cane, giving your heart to Him, recognizing who He is, and surrendering your life to Him, saying, God, I'm a sinner. Please cleanse me as white as snow. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. If you're not a Christian, you've never received the gift of eternal life, then I want you, just right there where you are, encourage you to pray a prayer like this based on Romans 10, 9 through 11. Dear God, just silently, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior and be my Lord. If you prayed that prayer, I would tell somebody. That's good news. It might be that you're a Christian, but as you've thought about the gift, gold, frankincense, myrrh, what the wise men gave, or maybe Annie's version, gold, circumstance, and mud. It may be that God wants you, before you leave here, to make some type of decision. God, this is your invitation. I pray that your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.